The views in this podcast are the participants' own and are not the views of their respective companies.
Welcome to Aerox The Legacy Life, the podcast asking, what does a career in runoff insurance or reinsurance actually look like? I'm your host, Katie Reynolds, and today we're joined by Keith Kaplan, Chief Liquidation Officer of Bedivere Insurance Company. Keith, thank you so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a bit about what you do in your role as Chief Liquidation Officer?
Well, first, thank you for having me. I'm actually honored to be included amongst the distinguished list of folks you've interviewed so far. My job as Chief Liquidation Officer Bedivere is to shepherd Bedivere through the liquidation process, which is overseen by the Pennsylvania Insurance Department and the Commonwealth Court of Pennsylvania. And just to put some more context on that, the broad objectives of any liquidation are to marshal and maximize the assets available for distribution to creditors. And typically the number one asset in any receivership is the reinsurance asset. Also to make sure the investment portfolio is prudently managed. And then on the claim side, make sure that there's fair and equitable treatment of the claimants, including fair and equitable valuation of their claims. And then make sure that the operations are conducted in an efficient and cost-effective manner.
And how did you end up in this role? What has your path been like to get you to this point?
Well, yeah. So how did I get to be a liquidator? You just need to go back 20 years to when I was working at Reliance Insurance Company. And the Pennsylvania Insurance Department showed up one day and said, we're here to help.
And after, okay.
And after a brief rehabilitation period, Reliance was placed or ordered into liquidation. And at the time, I was Reliance's chief reinsurance officer. And the reinsurance asset was worth approximately $5 billion. So the department wanted me to stay on, which I did. And then over the course of the next 15 years, I continued to lead both the ceded and assumed operations. And I also learned a lot about the liquidation process from sitting on a variety of liquidation oversight committees. So when I was ready to move on from Reliance in 2016, the deputy commissioner asked if I would at all consider doing more receivership work. And in particular, they were about to put Excalibur Reinsurance into liquidation. So I was asked to be the chief liquidation officer for Excalibur Re. And so then I did Excalibur start to finish about 4.5 years. And I want to add that that was essentially 2 to 2.5 years of work spread over 4.5 years. And then they also asked me to serve as the reinsurance manager for Healthcare Providers Insurance Exchange. I also actually went back to Reliance to help them value 6,000 assumed re-proof of claims in their liquidation. So when the Pennsylvania Insurance Department sought a liquidation order for Bedivere last March, they approached me and asked if I would serve as chief liquidation officer for Bedivere. And I said, yes, it's a challenging assignment. You know, it's over $1 billion in liability. For those that don't know who Bedivere is, it's basically the old Commercial Union and General Accident and One Beacon. So there's a lot of asbestos and pollution liabilities in the mix. So it's an interesting and challenging assignment.
So you've basically specialized in this sort of thing. Is there a separate set of skills that you need to have to do this liquidation work as opposed to doing normal runoff?
Well, it is a specialized form of runoff, which is how I think of it. So, within runoff, you're dealing with the tail liabilities, the last mile of the transaction. And in liquidation, you're doing the same thing, except you're not directly handling the claims. All the primary direct claims get sent to guarantee associations, and the guarantee associations in turn will have a claim in the estate. But the guarantee associations don't cover everything, nor do they cover all insureds, and nor do they cover for unlimited liability. And so the difference between what they cover and what the policies would cover become proofs of claim in the estate, which the claims department would then handle and evaluate. So the only difference is that you're not writing a check when you're valuing the claim. Instead, you're handing out an IOU to people. against which distributions will be made over time. So, you know, going back to my Reliance experience, you know, several years in, they made an initial distribution of, say, 20 cents in the dollar, and then it got increased to 30 cents, and then 40 cents, then 50 cents. And they actually ultimately got to 100 cents in the dollar for the direct policy holders, and then they had to go deal with the general creditors. And that's the other distinction between ordinary runoff and liquidation, is their creditors are divided into different classes, and there's a priority, and each priority class has to be paid in full before you go to the next priority class. So assumed reinsurance ends up in a lower class than direct policyholders, for example.
All right. So very much it is a bankruptcy. It's like a bankruptcy.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good. Yeah. So it is a bankruptcy, except that the bankruptcy is operated pursuant to state insurance company insolvency statutes, as opposed to the federal bankruptcy code.
So you mentioned Reliance is still out there. How long does it take to wrap some of these companies that are in liquidation up? Can it go on for decades, or can it be much shorter? Is it just dependent on the asset or what exactly?
Okay, so yes and yes to both of those questions. So to give you some examples of some of the more prolific insurance insolvencies in the United States, Mission was entered into liquidation proceeding in the mid-80s. And I forget the exact year. You know, it was like, you know, 85, 6, 7, somewhere there. That proceeding is still going on. Reliance went into receivership in 2001, in the fall of 2001. They are now done. Their discharge order was issued. And in fact, their office will officially close within 10 days. You know, they've literally been doing things like breaking down cubicles, shredding things that need to be shredded, and, you know, closing down, shutting down computer systems and so forth. I mean, they gave the money out, you know, already. And for an estate that involved the amount, you know, the breadth and scope and complexity of a Reliance, the fact that that was done in 18 years is considered good, quite frankly. And the reason it took the amount of time it did is that they did pay 100 cents on the dollar to Class B, which then meant they had to go back and deal with some lower priority creditors. If they did not get to 100 cents on the dollar, they actually would have been done a couple of years sooner. Now, the other end of the spectrum, there are some companies, small companies, that will go into receivership that literally have no assets. And it's a very quick proceeding because there are no assets really to give out. And then there are situations like an Excalibur Reinsurance, which was the old PMA Re, one time one of the top 10 largest U.S.-based reinsurers. They had been in runoff for, I guess, 12, 13 years when it went into receivership. So the portfolio had already run down significantly. And because it was mostly reinsurance as opposed to direct business, that also changes the dynamic of what a receiver goes through. So as I said, that was start to finish in four and a half years, which is pretty good. So another estate that's out there, Home Insurance Company, I think I forget the exact year, but, you know, 2003, 4, 5, somewhere around there. And they had been in runoff for a little bit before they went into liquidation. They do not have a bar date yet for claim filing. And I just want to expand on that. The court presiding over their receivership actually did approve a bar date, but it was appealed by various interest groups. So it's in the appellate courts. And I'm just guessing that'll resolve this year and they'll get their bar date, which will then allow them to go in, do that last part of the receivership, which will probably take several years. So that would put them, you know, in an over 20 to 25 year receivership. And then Bedivere, because of the sorts of liabilities and the size and scale and scope of it, who knows how long it will take. People that know me know that I'm not going to try to extend it. I'll do everything I can to move it along as quick as we can and use every means available to expedite the process of liquidation, keeping all the various constituent and interest groups in mind so that everybody's treated fairly.
You mentioned that there's a difference between complexity for if they're mostly direct losses or if it's reinsurance, that reinsurance tends to be faster. Can you explain why that is, why you can wrap that up much more quickly than you can if it's just direct insurance?
Well, you're dealing, you know, everybody involved are professionals within the space. So what you do is, and there's a practical side that takes place here as well. But effectively, in valuing the claims, it's very akin or comparable to a commutation process that you go through in an ordinary runoff. So you come to an agreement with all the different companies that filed their claims. And in some cases, it's easy. There's only a handful of claims. And in others, you know, you're dealing with borderos and borderos full of claims. And, you know, you come up to an appropriate conclusion and you agree. And you're still marshaling assets on the backside as well. You know, whatever reinsurance or, you know, retrocessions apply, you're collecting along the way. But I did find that to be a quicker process. And even at Reliance, because no one ever thought they were going to get to the general creditor class, the assumed rate, you know, the reinsurance claims that were in that estate were basically left idle for the duration of the estate, unless there was a reason to address it. So when they went back to do it, there literally were 6,000 proofs of claims to deal with. There was a team of people, including myself, that went through that and knocked it out in about 9 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, it was all 2001 and prior liabilities. And I think it also helped that Reliance did not become a big time commercial player reinsurer until after asbestos and pollution exclusions were in place. So you didn't have to deal with a lot of issues that I will be dealing with in Bedivere, for example.
Yes. So what can we do to get more young professionals interested in legacy or just insurance and reinsurance in general? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a tough one, you know, for the whole insurance industry, not just runoff. You know, I think the industry has to do a better job at marketing itself as a career with unlimited opportunity. You know, with respect to runoff in particular, I think what young people need to know is that it's a huge industry, you know, in terms of the amount of liabilities. It's between $800 billion and $1 trillion. And so there's careers for everybody. If you're an accountant, the industry uses plenty of accountants. It needs systems people. It needs, if you're into investments, that's nearly $1 trillion of assets that need investing. It's certainly the Full Employment Act for lawyers. There's plenty of actuaries involved, deal makers. And you notice what I haven't even mentioned yet, claims and reinsurance people. I've spent a lot of years involved with reinsurance prior, and that predates my receivership world work. But to me, it's a very, you know, interesting and dynamic field. And then in the runoff area in particular, you have a very gray workforce and management with a big gap behind them. And I'll just, you know, share a story. You know, at the October AIROC meeting, you know, and I was there in person, I sat at lunch one day at a table with four 60-somethings, even a 70-something. And one guy who was like 27, 28 years old, I actually had known his dad, quite frankly. But I said to the 27-year-old, just look around the room. Look at how old these people are. And I told him if he dedicated himself to runoff, he could be running one of these operations by the time he's 35. And I meant that. You know, the opportunities are unlimited. But the problem is getting that message out there and communicating it.
Looking back on your own career, do you have any advice for young professionals who are out there? It could be, you know, getting into insurance, reinsurance, or it could be just in general.
Well, yeah, you know, the advice that I would have for young people, you know, coming into the insurance business, you know, so it's a couple of points. One, and this transcends, you know, industries actually, you know, just work hard, you know, it gets noticed. And then become an expert at something, but would be particularly true in insurance and reinsurance because there's so many niches there. So if you particularly find a niche issue topic that you can become an expert on and get known within your company as the go-to person for that issue, that's something that's helpful for your career. Also participate in trade associations like AIROC. Get involved in a committee. You get to know your peers and managers at other companies, and that would help your career in the long run. Find a mentor, not necessarily a senior executive. Well, that doesn't hurt. just an experienced late career person to learn from, gain the benefit of that person's experience, not just for the technical side, but for the management of the growth of your career. And then always keep learning, keep broadening your skills, try to get better, try to improve. You know, I've been in the industry for 40 years, and I'm still try and learn more and get better at things I do. And I think that's also part of the secret to anybody's success.
Keith, before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add today?
I just want to, you know, do the plug for AIROC. You probably don't know this, but I was a founding board member of AIROC and served on their board for 10 years. I found participating at AIROC to be immensely helpful during those years at Reliance when I was trying to recover money, because there was a lot of very senior people, and it's still true, it's senior people at all the members are who's in attendance. And being on the board meant that even for the people that were trying to dodge me, you know, there were at least four times a year where I was going to come face to face with them during those board meetings. And you know, one kind of interesting story was, and I actually did this more than once. I showed up at a board meeting, you know, sat next, you know, down to somebody and just handed them an envelope, you know, with a little, you know, smiley face on top, you know, on it, you know, have a nice day type sticker. And then they open it up and they see it's an arbitration demand. And, you know, and then you get the response like, you know, what did my guy screw up? And I did that twice. And I can tell you neither case did it end up in an, although somebody will tell you I did it more than twice and one really did end up in an arbitration, going full hearing. But generally what would happen is 2 weeks later, I'd get paid. You know, that was really the benefit that I found, is just the access to all the people you're negotiating with, trying to collect from, trying to resolve a dispute from. And it was extremely helpful during the Reliance receivership. And Bedivere is a member now. You know, so that was the first thing we did, is we made sure that Bedivere joined and became a member.
Well, Keith, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate all of your time and your insights. This has been a great conversation. And with that, I think I'm going to cue the music and close this out. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The NextGen Task Force is part of AIROC, the only U.S.-based nonprofit association focusing on the legacy or runoff sector of the insurance and reinsurance industries. AIROC serves the industry by providing education, networking, information, and data. Learn more about what we do at www.aroc.org or contact AIROC's Executive Director, Carolyn Fahey, at carolyn@aroc.org. That's AIROC.org. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.